Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening.
All right, we're continuing today about justice, exacting justice. And we're going to dive a little more into specifically what members of the church can do. Just right out the gate. We know that love... let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 first. It's only a few verses that I'm going to reference in Nehemiah. And I actually did not plan to go here. But when we think about love, it is not... It doesn't stay within a concept, and it doesn't, it's not one of those things, like the Trinity. We cannot act out on the Trinity. We can benefit from the Trinity, but we are not part of the Trinity. And so a lot of it remains a concept, but love is not one of those things. Love is not a concept. As much as it is an action. And so let me read scripture to you, though. If I speak with the tongues, 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own will. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. So you see here that it is counter, it is the counter initiative against things that would cause us to be impatient, against things that would cause us to be unkind. It is not, it doesn't remain an abstract, elusive, just sort of overarching concept. It is the counter initiative against what would cause us to be jealous, that would cause us to brag or be arrogant, unbecoming, provoked. It is an initiative against. Otherwise, we would, right? We would be impatient. We are impatient when our kids are getting on our nerves. We are arrogant when things puff us up. We are unkind when we're at our wits' end. We are jealous of that new outfit. That's what we are. Love is the counter initiative. And we don't think in those terms. We don't think I'm unloving when I'm jealous. But we are. We do not act on love's full potential, generally speaking. And I'll show you how this ties in. Bears all things, believes all things. These are actions. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there is a gift of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, just whatever moved. That's how the world works. Whatever the wind goes, that's where I go. When I'm provoked, I get angry. When that happens, I get jealous. When that happens, they drive me crazy. I'm impatient. We just move with our circumstances. We think like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when face to face, now I know in part, and then I will know fully, just all as I have also been fully known. But now faith, hope, love. Abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. So let's go over here to Nehemiah chapter 5. We're starting off where we left off yesterday because the Lord keeps pushing in this direction. And so on with Nehemiah. Verse 10 is where we are. Here we go, 5:10. And likewise, I, my brothers, and my servants. I think I'm backtracking a little bit from yesterday. And likewise, I, my brothers, and my servants are lending them money and grain. Please let us leave off this usury. I'm just going to read the verses, then I'm going to sort of translate it a little bit into what usury would look like within our church context. Please give back to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money and of the grain, the new wine and the oil that you are exacting from them. Then they said, we will give it back and will require nothing from them. We will do exactly as you say. So I called the priests and took an oath from them, and they would do according to this promise. I also shook out the front of my garment and said, thus may God shake out every man from his house and from his possessions who does not fulfill this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen. And they praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. So, these people had been stolen from. And Nehemiah intervened and said, give it back. That is something we skipped. When it came to putting a couple sentences on as an amendment on the Constitution, we declared the slaves free. It was a step in the right direction, but it was not adequate. After all, it was slaves that had worked the land. But they weren't given any of it. That was unjust. Now, we can't exactly do that now. Lands have been divided. The people that didn't enslave people now own the land. That's not... that. What I'm trying to say is that was skipped. That was gross injustice. To work your whole life in somebody else's land and walk away with nothing is not how, not what I see God's character being. I believe with all my heart Jesus would have said that was grossly unjust. So what is on, if we're going to start in the church, and we're going to do things differently, because I also believe justice is coming. And I want to be, as I said yesterday, on the right side of that. I don't want to be surprised when God shakes it out of me. This justice that's been long overdue. I want to do the first thing. I want to align myself to God's idea of love. I want to align myself to God's idea of justice, not mine. I want to align myself to his view of mankind. I want to align myself to his perspective on the black person's plight even at the risk of, quote-unquote, overdoing it. I want to be aimed in that direction. I do not want to just let life go, have my own perspective like we talked about before, just action, reaction. I want to for love to be the cause, love to be that forward initiative. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I went that way. I sought out God's will concerning our Black brothers and sisters. I sought out what I could about learning about their background and history. I sought out what I could do to make a difference in the realm of justice. So let's just talk about usury. It is not okay to accept a man's presence and not accept his opinions. And I think you guys know what I'm talking about. This hypocritical token, we're ethnically diverse because there's a few brown people in our church, but we don't value their input when it comes to how our church does things. That's hypocrisy. Yes, stand at the door and greet people, but don't take part in becoming a deacon. That's wrong. That's using somebody. That's using somebody's ethnicity for your benefit. Do we tolerate the people that are sitting next to us? Because tolerance is not biblical. Tolerance is insidious. It's worst. Insidious? Yeah, I don't know. I'm making up words. Tolerance is vacant of value. There should be no Christian bragging about the fact that they're tolerant. None whatsoever. Because we are not on this earth to be intolerant. We are on this earth to fight back hate with love. Fight back prejudice with love. Forward movement with love. And you don't value somebody, you don't love somebody with an overarching, unreachable happy thought, theory, a theory over your life. You love when it's hard to love. You love when your logic says that can't be. That doesn't make sense. Love says, show me. Love says, I'm open. Love says, I'm ready to relearn. Love says, for you. If none of it makes sense to me, maybe I've been living in a box forever. I don't know. Love says, because you say so. I'm willing to listen. For a brother and a sister. For a brother, this is inside the church, for a brother and a sister. There are no token people in God's kingdom. There are no people there to promote ethnicity just by their presence. There is no tolerance. There is love or nothing. That's how you stop usury. We really do need to stop using people in our church. We got the numbers. We look diverse. We're cool. Peace out. Oh, I forgot to pray. I will pray now. Lord, first, I apologize for not praying. Secondly, our culture is one that likes to use people for our advantage. One that likes to overlook people for our advantage. Anything to help us feel comfortable and safe. We've traded you for something else. Mantras and AmeriGods and our party and whatever it is that makes us temporarily won't last, it won't last. Temporary at ease. When you have not called us to be at ease. But reversing the tide in love. I pray that you would do a mighty work today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.